Raffles by E.W. Horner. A series of short stories dramatized for radio by Alwyn Weimark. With Jeremy Clyde as Raffles and Michael Cochran as Bunny. The Last Word.
I'm so bored, Raffles.
Poor old rabbit.
I was walking through Holborn on the way to the office of the literary magazine which employed me. The bright June morning was in painful contrast to the desolation I felt now, and almost always these days.
This job is tedious and stupid. A half-witted clerk could do it.
Well, old chap, they did suggest you put up with the assistant editorship.
No, they didn't mean it. Just talk. They're sorry for me because I'm a cripple.
Rubbish, buddy. Cripple? You've got a slight distinguished limp, just as I told you you would. Oh, my dear old fellow, you're a war hero.
Me? Oh, no, Raffles. You're the hero.
And he was. The papers had been full of it. The gentleman burglar turned soldier, romantic, dashing, brave, fighting for his country. And killed for his country by a Boer bullet after dragging me to safety. Buried on Spion Kop in the Orange Free State. A year and 3 months ago, and I still talk to him in my head.
Perhaps I could give the job up and write a novel.
Capital idea, my dear chap. Do it.
Nobody would publish it.
Oh, Bunny.
Harry Manders.
What? Oh, what's that?
It is you. Hello, Harry.
I...
You don't remember me. Well, it's been such a long time.
Well, of course I remember you. How could you think for a moment I... Hello, Susie.
How are you, Harry?
Oh, very well, thanks.
Were you wounded? Is that why...
Oh, it was just a... You know, nothing serious. No, no.
I read about Mr. Raffles.
Yes.
I'm so sorry. I knew you would be with him.
Oh, yes.
There can't ever have been anyone like him. He's so...
You didn't know Raffles, did you?
No, no. No, I... I must go. I shall be late.
No, wait, Sophie,
no,
I...
Truly, would you give me your address?
Yes, of course. Here's my card. Well,
I'll write you, Harry.
I didn't sleep at all that night. Tossing and turning, remembering, wondering.
Why write to me? Why? Probably to tell me she's married with a nice little family now. Or perhaps she said it just to get away. Embarrassed, sorry for me. Lovely to see you again, I'll write. She probably won't. Damn, damn, damn. It's just the same as it was before.
9 years ago, I waited for a letter that never came. I was going off to meet Raffles at King's Cross.
You look a bit down in the mouth, Bunny. Anything wrong?
What? Oh, sorry, no, nothing really.
Good of you to meet by train, old man.
How was Yorkshire?
Oh, splendid. We won, of course. Very comfortably. You didn't read about the match?
No, I haven't seen a paper for days. I didn't look... Why? Did you make some runs?
Well, a matter of fact, Bunny, mine, 100 of them.
Oh, well done, Jack.
We must dine tonight and celebrate this rare event. A century takes it out of you at my time of life. Café Royal, Bunny. 8 o'clock.
She's an orphan, you see. Not a penny of her own. Not that that matters. I was going to get a job and we thought we'd... I don't know why I'm telling you all this.
Well, because I want to hear. Have a little more champagne.
Oh, thank you.
Now then, her name is Sophie Carruthers. She's 19 and the prettiest girl in the world.
Oh, if you could see her, Atlas. She's not just pretty, she's...
Exquisite?
Yes.
Most exquisite girl in the world, and she loves you, and you love her, and the aunt with whom she lives in the country has a sneaking softness for you, whereas the aunt's illustrious brother... I say, Bunny, it's not Hector Carruthers, is it? The cabinet minister?
It is.
Oh.
And he's a mean-minded, pompous old bigot. Last year, he took it into his head that I wouldn't do, so when Sophie and her aunt were staying in town...
22 Palace Gardens.
Yes. How did you know?
very rich man, Corella.
Has Croesus. Anyway, for this whole last year, Sophie has not been at home to me when I call. I'll never see her again.
Did she answer your letter?
No. That's what's driving me mad. I posted her on Saturday.
To Palace Garden?
No, she's in the country. It's Wednesday now, and I haven't had a line. I was right to break it off, wasn't I, Raffles? It was the right thing to do.
Yes, Bunny, I'm afraid it was. But it needn't have been. You should have told me about her. I'd never have taken you along with me to Bond Street.
I didn't tell her anything about all that in the letter. I just said I'd become involved in things that made me altogether unworthy of her. I didn't give you away, Raffles.
Oh, my dear chap. It never occurred to me for an instant that you had. You're a man of complete loyalty, Bunny.
But not of honour. Not anymore.
Well, honour, Bunny. Not entirely simple, is it? How do all those very rich people get their very great riches, for example? Honour and money don't always make good bedfellows. However, a little more, Paul Roger? So, you've not been in the Palace Gardens house for some time.
No, not for months.
But you used to visit there often.
Oh, yeah. Before old Carruthers took against me, I had the run of the place and then said he was in London.
What about the window fastenings?
Raffles. A house I've dined in. A house I've seen her in.
Well, my dear...
Go on, please, or I shall leave.
Your scruples would do you credit if old Carruthers still lived in the house in question.
You mean to say he doesn't?
Palace Gardens knows the name no more. Not for the last 2 months.
She never mentioned it.
I would suspect that she avoids the subject of her uncle altogether with you.
But who's taken the house if Carruthers has moved? How do you know it's still worth a visit?
Well, in answer to your first question, Lord Lochmabel.
Never heard of him.
Your other question is not worth an answer. It's my business to get to know these things. Yes, it happens. Lady Lochmaben's diamonds are every bit as good as Mrs. Carruthers. And the chances are she keeps them where Mrs. Carruthers kept hers. If you could enlighten me on that point?
I could, and I did. I was rather impressed with my powers of observation and memory for detail. The special window fastenings, the Yale locks on all the inside doors, the safe let into the wall behind a bookcase in the library. The library, where she and I had so often sat, under the kindly eye of the old aunt who had an endearing habit of dropping off to sleep.
Well, that's all I shall want from you, Bunny, my boy. I must be off to Kensington. My bill, please.
You're going to the house now?
There's no night like tonight.
I shall come with you.
No, Bunny, that would not be suitable.
Why? I have every inch of the ground, and since the house has changed hands, I have no compunction.
I'll tell you frankly. I don't want you tonight. The house will remind you of the girl and upset you. And get in the way of your concentration.
No, it won't. Oh, what's the use? I've lost her. And I'm coming with you.
What a very tenacious rabbit. All right, if you insist, we'll go back to my rooms at the Albany, collect the things we need, and wait until the hours are small enough to suit our purpose. Another cup of tea, Bunny?
No, not for me, thanks.
Strong, sweet tea before a job. You must get used to it if you're going to get on in your new profession.
Are we going, sir?
In half an hour or so. The Lochmaben's son and heir is a late bird, and a hard-drinking one. Bit of a bore altogether, I'm told.
Sounds just like Alec Carruthers, Sophie's cousin. A lout and a snob, and forever pestering Sophie with unwanted attentions. I can't bear the fellow.
Ah. Do change your mind, Bunny, and don't come.
I've said I will. And I won't go back on it now.
In truth, I wished very much that I could. We drove in a hansom to Kensington. There was a ball in full swing at the Empress Rooms. Groups of potential witnesses were standing outside in the cool, deserted streets. So we alighted at Church Road. Then we went up a narrow passageway into Palace Gardens.
There's a light over the door. It can only be young Lochmaben out this late.
That means we'll have to leave it for tonight, then.
What it means is that the door won't be bolted, and so I shan't need your help with a window. You cut along now, Bunny. Go and get yourself a ticket at the Empress Rooms, and I'll meet you there afterwards.
No.
All right. Shoes off, then. The drive's gravelled.
At the front door, he swiftly tried some of his skeleton keys. The third let us into the hall. As he closed the door behind us and slid the bolt shut as if it were sheathed in velvet, a clock chimed the three quarters.
I know that clock. And the silk settle. The table. The hat stand. You told me a lie.
No, I didn't. The furniture is Carruthers, but the house is Lochmaben's.
Now look.
He picked up a letter from the hall table. Lord Lochmaben. The case was clear to me on the spot. The house had been let furnished, as anybody but Raffles would have explained in the beginning. I led him along the hall to the library door.
In, money, and show me where the safe is.
Just here.
All right. Open one of the windows so we've got a way out.
Right.
Then stand sentry for me in the door.
I may have stood there for a dozen minutes listening to the ticking of the hall clock and the gentle dentistry of Raffles in the mouth of the safe behind me, when a third sound thrilled my every nerve.
Someone's coming. Stand absolutely still.
I needed no prompting. Panic froze me where I stood. Raffles close behind me.
Oh, my God, Raffles!
A hand was clapped firmly over my mouth from behind. The girl we saw, with a candle in one hand and a letter for the post in the other, was Sophie. I saw her open the envelope, take a rose from her bosom, and press it in with the letter. That letter was for me. I knew it. I couldn't help it. I groaned aloud.
What's that? Who's that?
The sound of the house. Quick, the window.
Raffles was over the sill in an instant.
Stay in the house. Get back.
The police. I saw Raffles fell onto the ground and race across the lawn with another at his heels. I ran back into the hall and came face to face with my lost love.
You. You of all men.
Turn this window. There's no one inside.
Oh, this way. In here.
No, but...
In here.
She pulled me to the door of a coat cupboard under the stairs and bundled me in.
Open the door! Porter, Anders! Porter, take the mat! Why was the bloody door bolted? What the devil's going on? Sophie! One of them came through here. Did you see him, Nick?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Where did he go?
Up the stairs.
Ah, oh, so here, you blind. Come on. Come out.
No, let them find me. What does it matter now?
Don't. Quickly. If you ever cared.
One last anguished look at that dear face, and I turned away and went blindly out the front door. Horrified, I drew back in despair. There were two more policemen searching the shrubbery, with the help of a young man in evening clothes and white silk scarf. I was trapped.
Ah! So you've come to join the hunt out here? Had a look inside, have you?
Yes.
It's all right, officer. It's only another gentleman from the Emperor's rooms. Oh, come and give us a hand out here, old chap. We're beating up the shrubbery like old Billy. What about the hedge over there, officer?
Thank you, sir, but we can manage. Why don't you and your friend get along home?
Are you quite sure? Always glad to help the law, don't you know? All right. Off we go, then. Off we go.
And here, Bunny. We'll cut back through to Church Road. Let go of my arm, please, Raffles.
Oh, my dear Bunny, do you know what brought me back?
I neither know nor care.
I had the very devil of a squeak for it. The moment I was round the corner, I pulled off my coat, hopped into the Empress rooms and took a cloakroom ticket for it.
It was like you to come back to help me. But to lie to me, to inveigle me into that house, that was not like you, Raffles, and I shall never forgive you for it.
Oh, come, Bunny. There wasn't much inveigling about it. I did my level best to leave you behind.
If you told me the truth, I'd have listened fast enough. Raffles, don't you know who she was?
I guessed, Bunny.
It was she who saved me, not you.
Even then, I took some sad pleasure in recounting the story. Her generosity. Her courage.
It's no use saying I'm sorry, Bunny. But believe me, I had not the smallest suspicion that she would be in the house. You told me yourself she was in the country.
That makes no difference to the fact that you told me a deliberate lie.
Well, in fact, it wasn't a lie, Bunny. If you read your papers, you'd have known that old Carruthers headed the birthday honours list and Lochmaben was the title of his choice.
I see. And that miserable quibble was not a lie. I'm going back to Mount Street.
Without another word, I turned my back on him and walked away.
Not a lie, indeed. He tricked me. Raffles could stoop so low. Well, I've done with him, finished. That's the end of our friendship. Oh, God. If it weren't for Raffles, I'd be getting that letter tomorrow. The rose.
Cab, sir? Did you want a cab?
Yes. Mount Street, number 17. No, I've lost her. Forever. And I've lost Raffles, too.
The next day I was bored, depressed, bad-tempered. And I would have to think very seriously now about getting a job. Yes. I decided to go to my club. I looked at the faces around me at the bar. Why had I never noticed how uninteresting they all were? Noisy, trivial, self-satisfied. Compared to Raffles, they were all just... I wasn't going to think about Raffles. I ordered a whiskey and soda.
I say, Manders, you know old Hector Carruthers, don't you? Or what you might call it, I should say.
Slackly.
See the evening paper? He was burgled last night.
All right.
Yeah, didn't get anything. Surprised in the act. They got away. The house positively crawling with the constabulary, and they got clean away.
Extraordinary.
Seems a young woman of the house actually saw one of them, and you know, she couldn't tell the police a thing about it. And a blessed thing.
It said that in the paper.
That's not all. She actually also maintained that even if there was an arrest, she was sure she wouldn't be able to make an identification.
She did?
I assure you, old boy. What an absolutely credulous creature, eh? Still, that's women for you.
I put down my drink and left the club. If I'd stayed, I would have hit him. But I bought an evening paper and read and reread the relevant passage. It kept a certain faint glow alive within me. Until the morning brought me back the only presents I'd ever been allowed to give her. Books. Directed in her hand, but without a note. Not a word.
Come in.
Raffles. Thought I'd drop by and see how you were, Bunny.
My stern resolve wavered and was gone in the smoke of our cigarettes. I realized I had only myself to thank for those last terrible moments. Raffles had made every effort to stop me going with him. The only comfort was that Sophie now knew quite clearly why I had broken it off between us.
Have you heard from her, Bunny?
In a way.
A letter?
No.
Oh, I thought she might write to you.
No.
Oh, in a way, you said. So she's been in touch.
These books came this morning. My only presents to her.
With no word?
Nothing. But... Well, why should she write to me, Raffles? What could she possibly say?
I don't know. I only thought that the girl who went so far to get a fellow out of a tight place might go a little further to keep him from getting into another.
I can't see at all why you should expect that of her.
And it was nearly a decade before I finally understood why he did.
So you're out of paradise after all. Well, Bunny, if they don't want you there, there's a little inferno in the Albany, where you'll be as welcome as ever.
And somehow, in all the years that followed, I'd managed to keep that chamber of my heart tightly closed, which housed my memories of Sophie Carruthers. Until now. The Dawn Chorus. These days, I usually cursed it for dragging me out of the comfort of dreams into the cheerless days. But today, I welcomed it. I got up and went quickly downstairs.
A letter.
Dear Harry, you may have wondered at the very few words I could find to say to you when we met so strangely yesterday. I was grieved to see you so cruelly hurt and limping, though I honor you for your brave wound. I had known about Mr. Raffles, but not about you. There was something I have longed to tell you about him. Something I couldn't tell you in a few minutes in the street. You see, I did meet him. Once. On the very next night after the one when you and I last saw each other. I was just turning on the drawing room lights when in walked Mr. Raffles from the balcony.
Forgive me for startling you, Miss Carruthers. Did no one tell you I was here?
Of course I recognized him. I had seen him play at Lord's, and I knew he was your closest friend. No, they did not, Mr. Raffles. And if Harry Amanda sent you, I must ask you to leave.
I promise you he has absolutely no idea I'm here. He would certainly not have allowed me to come.
In that case, may I ask?
Oh, Bunny is my friend.
I must tell you, he is no longer a friend of mine.
Even so, I felt I must see you.
Has something happened to Harry?
No, nothing. It's what might happen next that brings me here. Between you two.
So he has confessed to you?
No.
Then let me tell you something you may not be aware of, Mr. Raffles. Your friend, Bunny, is a thief. He was one of the two men who attempted to burgle this house last night.
I know that.
Then he did tell you.
He didn't have to, Miss Carruthers. I was the other man.
I stared at him. He had said it so simply.
Well, shall I ring for the servants?
No, thank you. I don't frighten easily, Mr. Raffles.
No. No, you don't.
And besides, I don't believe you. You're only saying that for Harry's sake.
You see these? The rope ladder and the telescope walking stick. I use them to effect balcony entries. As now.
In it, I won't believe it. This is some kind of elaborate... Mr. Raffles, I know that Harry broke into this house last night because I saw him. But you... Well, it's not possible. You're a world-famous cricketer.
And the amateur cracksman you may have read about in newspapers.
It is true, then?
Yes. And it's true that Bunny, Harry, I mean, would never
please,
have turned...
Please, whatever you're going to say, Mr. Raffles, it is also true that he has deceived me, lied to me. All the time I've known him, he's been living this dreadful secret life.
No, not all the time. Listen, it began only a few weeks ago. Bunny came to see me at the Albany in a state of suicidal despair. That night, he very foolishly signed a worthless check for his losses at Baccarat. He thought I might help. In my fashion, I did help him. I needed an accomplice for a job I had in mind, and so I took him with me to Danby's Jewelers in Bond Street.
That was you?
That was us. And now, Miss Carruthers, you have my liberty and my fate in your hands, just as you had Bunny's last night.
And that was true. Telling me about his double life was an act of real self-sacrifice. And he did it for you, Harry.
Without me, Bunny wouldn't entertain the thought of any kind of crime for an instant. I push and prod and persuade. I tease him and laugh at him because, for me, the whole thing is a game.
A game?
The only game I know, which is always exciting and always full of danger. Bunny doesn't need any of that, but I must have it.
But your family... Forgive me, I know it sounds foolish, but... But don't you ever think of your mother?
Never. As a matter of fact, she and I never managed to meet. She died, as they say, in childbirth. I've often wondered if that makes me a matricide.
Oh.
In fact, I've not a single relative in the world, and that's a great advantage in my line of business.
Oh, Mr. Raffles, I implore you, give it up. Give it up.
Oh, don't cry. You must admit, Miss Carruthers, that one can hardly be a blot on the escutcheon of a family that doesn't exist.
Oh.
But please... Don't cry.
I promised him that I would write, and that I would see you if I could. Well, I did write, and I did mean to see you, but I never had an answer to what I wrote. It was only one line. I couldn't bring myself to write more, and I slipped it into one of the books when I sent them back to you.
Oh, my God. My God.
Years later, those same books, with my name in them, were found in your rooms and sent back to me. Clearly, you'd never seen my note. There it was, just where I put it. But it was too late then to write again.
Oh, I can't bear to read anymore.
But I couldn't resist reading on.
What I want to say to you, Harry, is that I hope you are not morbid about the past. It's not for me to condone it, of course. But I understood that night that Mr. Raffles was what he was because he loved adventure, and that you were what you were because you loved Mr. Raffles. But he is dead, and you have been punished. You have paid for what you did. You always wanted to write. Well, surely you must have enough to write about for a literary lifetime. You must make a new name for yourself. You must, Harry, and you will.
And then one last brief paragraph that made my heart suddenly race.
Dear Harry, if this letter makes you realize that one of your oldest and dearest friends is glad to have seen you, and will be gladder still to see you again, and talk of anything and everything, except the past, I may cease to be ashamed even of its length. And so goodbye for the present, from Sophie.
Hope. I felt hope, and a great wave of thankfulness to my lost friend, that he should have taken such a risk for my sake, that he put his own fate into the hands of a complete stranger, but one that he knew was precious to me. And to think that to the very end, I never heard one word of it from Raffles.
In The Last Word by E.W. Hornung, dramatized for radio by Alwyn Weimark, Jeremy Clyde was A.J. Raffles and Michael Cochran, Bunny Manders. Emily Richard played Sophie, Matthew Morgan, Alec, and Terence Edmund, John Church and Matthew Sim were the three policemen. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The Raffles theme music was composed by Jim Parker, and the sound balance was by Keith Perrin. The Last Word was a BBC World Service drama production directed by Gordon House.